Hey guys, it's your girl Kamara A. Unique, and welcome back to another episode of the A. Unique Beauty Podcast, where we talk all things beauty and God. Last week, we had a, we went into my little story. Well, not my little story, my big story of me moving from New York to California, and I asked God to clean out my closet. I wanted to continue that story this week, but first, I want to share my beauty product of the week. Yay! Get excited. I need you to get excited. I'm not going to speak until you get excited. You excited yet? Okay, good. Iconic London. I'm in love with this brand. Iconic London sent me a few of their products, and one of my favorite products by them is their Prep Set Glow original spray. It's a setting spray for your makeup and to also prep your skin. So you can spray it on before and after you're applying your makeup. It has like an luminescent glow in there. So you have to shake it up really, 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 really good. And then you spray away. It leaves a really nice sheen on the skin. I like to use it. I used it a couple of, I did a shoot a while back for this amazing line called Papa Yao, and the model was so beautiful that I wanted to give her like glowy, bronzy, dewy skin. And so I sprayed this on first, and then I applied a illuminating moisturizer on top, and then I applied a regular moisturizer on top of that, and it just left her skin looking like a dew on a Sunday morning. And so I want to recommend this product. I don't have a code because this is not sponsored. It's just, I really like this product and it smells yummy. It has a really nice fresh smell to it too. So yeah, I would definitely get into this Iconic London Prep Set and Glow. It comes in different colors also. So you can get the original if you're someone like a light to medium tone. And then they have like a bronzy golden color for our chocolate girls. So, hello. Shout outs to Iconic London for that. Now, let's get into cleaning out the closet. You know what I'm saying? We gotta clean it out. When I ended last week, I shared how basically the move happened. I got to LA. I want to just fast forward because there's a lot of things that really, honestly, it's not anything to really talk about yet. And I want to mainly focus on what is it that you do, what to do when you ask God to clean out your closet and what can happen during that time. And so God downloaded a couple of steps, maybe like about 5 different steps today during my meeting with him. And the steps were basically on how to clean out your closet 101. I had a whole nother podcast recorded, and he was just like, no, scratch that. Let's go this way and do it this way. So I'm going to follow the obedience of what God is saying, and I'm going to teach you guys and give you guys a couple of like steps of what God gave me on how to clean out my closet. Now we all know that I moved from New York to California on May 16th. On May 12th, I actually asked God to clean out my closet because I knew that there were things inside of me that he wanted to do and he wanted to work on me and through me. But in order for me to do that, I had to have him clean out the things inside of me that I quite did not, know that was left behind, like residue, any residue that was left behind, any thrown rolled up jeans that no longer fit me, all those things. I needed him to go in the back of the closet and get it out. And so on May 16th, God showed me a moving truck. And the moving truck said New York to California Express. And then on June 16th, that same moving truck was leaving with my stuff to go to California. I moved to California around June 23rd of this year. My stuff got here before I did. It got here on June 22nd, and it was insane. And it's funny because I started to tell people that I was moving, and a couple of those people started to pour things in my ear saying, your things are not going to get there before you. Your things are going to get there late. Anytime that I've moved across the country, it's happened like this. It was bad. It was terrible. Oh no, you're going to have a bad experience. And I was just like, you see, this is why God says you can't tell everybody when you're doing certain things, because people will start to implant the talks of the enemy into your ears and make you start to question God. And that is a big no-no when you're asking God to clean out your closet. Okay, so let's get right into it and let's talk about how to clean out your closet one-on-one. Whew. Let's go. Let's get Holy Spirit. Just come on in here. I prayed before this too, so he is here, but you know. So the first thing you want to do is you want to acknowledge that you do actually need God. Like you actually want to acknowledge to God, like say, God, like there are things about myself that I know that I need healing and deliverance from, Father. And so, Father, I just ask that you step in. I have a few scriptures that God led me to read that basically is is scriptures that you can read and you can actually write out prayers to where God can help you to acknowledge that you actually really need him. So the first scripture I have is, First Peter 5 verses 7. I'm going to start at 6, actually. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him and standing in firm faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So basically, what Peter is saying is that everyone's going through this type of suffering. Everyone needs God to come in and to clean out their closet and to move in their lives in a way. So you're not alone when God is saying, when you're saying, God, I need you to clean out my closet. There are things inside of me that I don't understand quite much. And so you want to basically like just trust the process, and you don't want to actually feel like you're some kind of like child that's like a hot mess and God is like, girl, bye, I'm gonna clean out your closet. You're the only person that needs this. You're not. You are not the only person that needs to get your closet cleaned out. Okay, I'm with you. I'm still cleaning out my closet to this day, guys. So don't beat yourself up. Just ask him and let him go in, like build that intimate relationship with the Father so that he can really move on your behalf. Another one is Philippians 1:3. This one is really nice. It says, I thank God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Meaning that he is going to carry out that work. He is going to go in and he is going to fully do everything. It may not happen in 1 week or 2 days or or 3 months. It may happen in a 6-month process. But you want to basically acknowledge that, God, I know that I'm confident in that you are going to complete it. I'm confident that you are going to deliver me. I'm confident that you are going to remove those things in me. And I actually really need your help to do this, because I cannot do this by myself. Another one is, let's see, I have, let me get it to it. It is Luke 21:36. Let me find, okay, here it goes. So Luke 21:36 says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Meaning, be always on the watch of what the enemy is about to do. Once you ask God to clean out your closet, get ready to fight. Remember when you were like in grade school and it was always that one chick that liked to fight a lot, and you knew, you just heard the rumors that she's coming to beat somebody up? just know that once you give God your okay and your amen and your yes, like surrender, this is all yours, have your way in me, and you raise your hands in a hallelujah to him, just know that that chick is coming. She's coming with her hands ready to go, ready to fight, and you got to be ready to fight back. And you also have to learn, this is one thing that I spoke on my live a couple of weeks ago, was that the enemy is a fallen angel, you know? And his little minions have no power over you. Like, you literally, there are, like, the enemy's minions and him, they're below the dirt. That's why they hate us so much, because we're forgiven and we're loved by God. Like, God forgave us. God died for us. And they were casted out of heaven. And they're big mad. So you have to understand who you are and your authority in this world. And how much you basically run in this world. Like, you run things. Like, you got Christ inside of you. You're actually running a thing or two. Okay? All right. The next thing is Proverbs 16 verses 3. You want to commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Once you give God your yes and say, God, yes, let's go. I want you to clean out my closet. You're basically committing to the Father. You're letting the Father know, I'm giving everything to you. I'm committing all to you. And now I know for a fact that you will establish your plans, because your word says it. When you tell God, go back to God with what his word says, he's going to do it. And so that's when the process might happen, the cleaning out the closet, you know, all those things may happen, where you may start to uproot things where you're like, oh, I didn't know you were in there. I didn't know that was in there. But it's always a good thing, even though it may hurt, even though you may be faced with things like even today, I have a friend, my good friend said to me, she says, hey, I just want to, you know, alert you on something, that I'm hearing you curse more and you don't curse. So where is this coming from? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, God, something tried to come back in this place, in this closet that you cleansed, and something is trying to remove the holiness that you did and the sanctification that you tried to apply on my life. And so, Sovereign God, I just ask that you come in and step in and cleanse my mouth, because I'm not going to blame Kamara for cursing. Obviously, it's a ploy from the enemy trying to get into my life, trying to make me feel like, oh, I'm back to the old me, when I'm not. And so I immediately, once my friend alerted me on that, I immediately went into repentance. And this is where I come into the next step. The next step is to repent. You want to repent for hiding those things that you think will just go away if you just ignore it. You know, you want to basically, like, God knows everything, right? So repenting is just saying, acknowledging the fact that you were doing things that were a sin, that you were living a life that was causing you to sin. You know, repentance is often linked to sin, but it's actually a word that's life-giving. It gives life, that refers to turning and giving and going another route in a better way. So repentance is actually a really, 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 really great thing. Like, Father, when you say, Father, I repent for cursing. I repent for, like, allowing the enemy to open up a door in my life that's having me put a curse on my own life and speak words of negativity into my mind and into my heart. Father, I just ask that you renew my mind, renew my heart. And then that's where I get into your prayers. You want to start praying, and you want to start praying after you repent. And during that prayer, you want to ask God to renew your mind. I spoke about this last week, where my prophetic coach, Asha, gave me Romans 12 to study. And I'm going to read it again. Romans 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, proper, and proper worship. So basically, when we give our bodies and our minds and our hearts back to God, this is what all he requires of us. And that's how we worship him. When we say, God, you have full control over our mind, our bodies, and our souls, it's like worship to him, where he's just like, the angels in heaven are just like, hallelujah. Like, everybody's lit. Everybody's partying. It's like a day party in heaven when you do that, you know? And so you want to, it says also, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Renewing your mind means saying, God, change my perspective. Change how I'm looking at this situation. Change how I'm seeing the fact that you need to clean out my closet. Allow me to see it your way so that I'm not looking at it my way. And I'm not thinking like, oh, there's something wrong with me. No, me actually acknowledging it means that something is right with me. Means that I'm been delivered so far, and whatever else, whatever residue is left over, I need you to get the gook out so that I can actually really move holy and pleasing to your will. You know, God's will is dope, and you want to be transformed in that. You don't want to look at like the trends that people are doing and think because they're talking about God that they're actually being about God. Not every person that talks about God is being about him. And so when you ask God to renew your mind and to set your mind free on his thoughts and allow your perspective to change, you're going to start to see that you're going to think differently from those people. Okay. And then another thing that God gave me, number three, is to study his word. You want to study God's word on cleansing out your closet. I got Colossians 3, verses 5 to 11, and then I'm going to read 12 to 14. So verses 5 to 11 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, meaning like if you're looking like, let me get this money, let me run this bank, let me get all that, you're idolizing these things. And God wants you to keep your focus on him, right? Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have to put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Come on. Like, we can't, like, I want to read that from the message version, but you can't, like, it doesn't get any more plain and simple from that. You know, like, we need to remove all those things. Like I said, I literally found myself cursing the other day. Was I going to beat myself up about it? Absolutely not. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask my father to come up in here and to clean it out and say, God, this doesn't sound like you. Father, this is not like how you, this is not what you, what you've called me to be like. Okay. Colossians 3, in the message version says, your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invincible to spectators, which is basically people that are going to tell you, girl, you used to do this and you used to do that and you used to be down with this. It's invincible to them, but you're new now. Is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. That means killing off everything connected with the way of death, sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, and doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It is because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but now you know better. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the creator with his label on it. Come on. I want couture by the Lord. I want couture by God. Okay. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe that God picked out for you, which is compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. When you ask God to clean out your closet, you're asking God to give you the five gifts of the Spirit. It's so hilarious to me because I was studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not really putting everything together until I started to like put everything together. And I was like, oh, wow. And I remember I was walking, I was going for a walk around my neighborhood, and this random man just approached me and he was like, I'm listening to music and I'm literally like trying to listen to my worship music and walk, and I'm trying to hear from God and I'm trying to hear from God. And this guy just stops in front of me and says, Miss, look. And I say, what? And he's like, look at the fruit, because there's a fruit tree at the park by my house. And he's like, look at the fruit. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sir, look at the fruit. Like, what do you mean? Look at the fruit. And he's like, but look at the fruit. And I'm like, okay, have a good day. Keep walking, walk past him. And then all of a sudden I hear the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I turn around and I say, sir, thank you. You mean the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you. And he goes, he nods his head. And then I turn around and keep walking and I look back and he's gone. I most likely had an experience with an angel. I'm not going to lie with you guys. It was crazy. It was amazing. It was fantastic. And I'm also happy that I wasn't mean to him. Even though I was about to say, sir, like, boy, bye. So you definitely want to like look into this. It's so much in the word. I could talk about this all day, but there's so much in the word about us cleaning out our closet. And that I definitely want you guys to just study on Colossians. Colossians 3 is really going to help you renew and be okay with the change that's happening. Also number four, let's go back to this. Number four is also community. This is the time that you want to find a church home if you don't have one already, and you want to be surrounded by people of God who will cover you and who will empower you and who will push you and who will pray for you and who will fast with you and who will not tell you that's not a, like, who would not put something else in your ear that God is trying to tell you. Like I told you early in this taping, it wasn't until after the process happened that I called people and started to speak to people about the move, and people started to plant negative things in my ears about the move, saying, oh, you're gonna experience your things are gonna come late. Oh my God, why would you move during a pandemic? People still do it to this day. Like, you moved at a bad time. They say that to me all the time. You moved at a terrible time. And I switch and I say, no, I moved at the perfect time, because now now that LA is not open fully, I can still spend that time on my face in the Father's presence to get the things that I need and to get the replenishment that I need, so that when things do open back up, that I'm prepared for what's going to happen out in LA, because it's crazy out here. It's a war zone out here, you know? Another thing that you want to, so you can understand the process. Yeah. Straighten your path. The enemy seeks to kill, destroy, and to delay you. He's going to come after you. He's going to basically implant those things in your ear. He's going to try to make you feel like what you're doing is stupid, it's silly, it's dumb. You want to make sure you have community around you that's going to say, no, what you're doing is God. And even though you may not understand, it's still him. And even when you may question it, it's him still, and you must obey it. And I was grateful to have that. I had that community with my church, Hungry for God. I had my pastors on speed dial. I had my friend Ebony on speed dial. And I had Asha, my coach, on speed dial. And they all were with me throughout the entire process of me moving to Los Angeles and trusting what God is doing and trusting the process. And if I didn't have that, I probably would still be in New York at this time. And I'm super grateful that God made it happen this way rather than another way. And then the next thing, the last thing that you want to do too, is you want to focus. You want to focus on God and take that time to praise him, even when you're questioning things. So like, you know that song, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't hear, feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Like that song, every time I hear that song, I'm like, hey, you never stop. Cause he never stops working. For real, y'all. Like, he's so faithful and so awesome and such a wonderful dad that even when you don't see what he's doing, he's behind the scenes making a way for you. And so you want to focus on worshiping him even during those times, because worship is our weapon. Worship confuses the devil. You know, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. So whenever you're feeling like you're about to question, like, the things that God is pulling out from your closet and you're like, oh my God, look at those dirty jeans from fifth grade. Oh my gosh, look at what happened when I was a baby. Oh my gosh, that also, God, oh my God, that abortion that I had. Oh my goodness, wow, Lord. Like all of those things, all of those things is what God wants to use for you to be fully who you need to be. And it's going to make you whole. And the enemy tried to make us feel shame for those things. Like, I remember I felt shame for having an abortion. I had an abortion, you guys. I was pregnant about five or like, how many years ago it's been? Because we're going on, I'm on 35 now, it's 25. So 10 years ago, I was pregnant. I was with this guy and I thought this was the only person that was going to love me. And he put his hands on me and he hit me. And it was a terrible experience because I was like, what am I going to do? I was living in a terrible apartment where my apartment was infested with bed bugs and I needed to get out of that building because the whole building was infested. I had no money. I just started working at Mac. So my money was like terrible. I was making, remember, I don't know if you guys know my story. I went from making $85,000 a year working at Estee Lauder to making $20,000 a year working part-time at Mac just to sacrifice becoming a better artist. And so during that time, he's living with me in that apartment. I'm like, I need to move. I need to get out of this place. He goes and tries to do something crazy, comes back after failing at that, puts his hands on me, almost kills me, like puts pillows over, like, it was terrible. I was 4.5 months pregnant at that time also. And I decided at that time that I was not going to bring, I was like probably like 3.5 months pregnant, not four, like 3 to 4 months pregnant. I literally just made the mark of like having an abortion. And I went and I had an abortion. I said it was the worst, it was the most terrifying and the worst experience I had as like, cause I was planning for this baby. This is a baby that I was telling my, I told my family about. I was excited. I was happy. But I knew that it was not right to do it with this person. And I know that God is going to have me speak about this experience too. Because I feel like some women will be freed from if you did have an abortion and lied about it and said it was a miscarriage. Cause I did. I lied about it for 8 years. It wasn't until 3 years, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago when I found God, that God was like, are you still going to lie about this? Or are you going to share what really happened? And, I always thought that saying that I had a miscarriage made the story better, you know? And he was just like, repent for it, which I did. I gave it back to him and I said, God, this is your story. Let's tell it. And I shared that I did not have a miscarriage. I actually had an abortion and I had to make that decision for me and my future child. I had to make that decision for that child to say that I did not want that child to be in the world with a father that did not care about him. You know, I did not want that child to be in the world with a mother that could barely feed them, because I was not making the money that I'm making now. I was barely making ends meet, you know, and living in a bed bug infested apartment. So it was just not a healthy experience for a child to come into this world. But I will say, I thank God that he removed me from that apartment. I thank God that he literally moved me into a beautiful apartment downtown in Bed-Stuy. And that's where I called home for the next 5 years. And it was an experience that I had to go through and grow through so that I could share it today. So when I'm saying to ask God to clean out your closet, I'm not only talking about like cursing and idolizing people and celebrities, or idolizing Instagram, or idolizing the fame from Instagram. I'm talking about those things that you hid from your past, those things that you threw in the back of that deep in the back of your closet that you were like, oh, he not gonna find that. God's gonna find it. And just let him be a good dad. Let him go in there and clean out. Let him pick up all those dirty, you know, the dirty shorts, the dirty underwear, the ripped up bras, the old things, and let him give you new couture that's fully filled with his name tag on it. That was in the message version. The message version says that you want to basically, let me go back to it, guys, because it's like all this stuff is coming to me as I'm speaking. Life is shaped is because of the good exposure. Now you make it in a, do not lie to one of filthy said. Now you're dressed in a wardrobe, in a new wardrobe. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the creator with his label on it. Like, ain't nothing better than having a custom made outfit with God's name on it in your closet. Like, I want to walk around with a God made Birkin. I want to walk around with a God made Chanel bag. I want to walk around with a God made, like, full on Chanel head to toe outfit. And I'm not talking about real, like, you know, Chanel in the store. I'm talking about like his version of Chanel, which is basically the woman that you're going to become, or the man that you're going to become, the person that you're going to become through this experience. And, you know, all we want to do is become that Proverbs 31. Like, for the ladies, you want to become that Proverbs 31 woman. And to become that Proverbs 31 woman is to walk in a path of wholeness. And in order to get into that path of wholeness, you have to ask God to clean out your closet. Okay? All right, y'all. So I thank you guys for tuning in today. Please share this. If it spoke to you, if I spoke to you today, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you today, please leave a review. Please share it. Please tag a friend, tag a sister, tag a husband, tag somebody, and let them know that God is speaking. And I thank you guys for tuning in. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And I will see you guys again next week. All right, y'all. Stay safe. Bye.